This may be my favorite version of Chicago. Dave Schwann, of course, will know this orchestra instantly. Wow, I thought you would have gotten this in a second, because this is right in your wheelhouse. It's the Count Basie
Big Band.
Count Basie Orchestra.
Yeah.
Back in the 70s, I believe, they did this. And I love it. More than any other version of Chicago, they do the best version.
Well, that's a knockout band anyway, and well-suited for a song like Chicago.
You know what it is? It swings.
It does swing. That was the Count's middle name, by the way.
Swing?
Swing. Well, I'm saying that facetiously.
That's interesting, because mine was teeter-totter. I have no idea. We get nicknamed stuff.
Middle name after playground equipment.
I didn't pick it.
Mine would be slide.
Kids can be cruel.
Yeah. Oh yes.
That's all I can say. The reason that I'm playing this song is, remember last week, actually, we talked with our friends at the Chicago Architecture Center about their reopening and the architecture tours and all that. And we were talking about their walking tours that they have around the city. And I said, it would be fun if we just got together once in a while and talked about the walking tours and learned about the different neighborhoods in Chicago. So that's what we're going to do here periodically here on our Sunday show. Learn about our city. We don't talk about it enough. But Lynn Osmond is the president of the Chicago Architecture Center. And Lynn, nice to have you back with us here already.
It is great to be back just a week later and celebrating our wonderful start of summer.
I'm super excited about this, to be able to talk about the different neighborhoods, because, you know, Chicago is, you know, one of the greatest melting pots in the world. And although I know you wouldn't know it by what's going on in the news right now, but for the most part, we celebrate our differences and we experience each other's cultures and diversity. I think that's part of what makes Chicago great. So that's why I'm interested in learning about the different neighborhoods. And today we were going to start off talking about the Fulton Randolph Street market area that maybe has gone through one of the most dramatic changes ever in the history of Chicago neighborhoods. Talk to me about this neighborhood, because I remember as a kid, you know, my family was in the grocery business, and occasionally we would go down into that area to buy produce, to buy, you know, different things. And it was nothing but produce markets and you know, meat markets and things like that. Nothing like it is now.
You know, it's had an amazing transformation. And, I mean, it really started as this commercial quarter for meat packers, for produce, and for goods, you know, back in the 1850s. You know, when we look at, you know, how wide Randolph Street is there when you first go across the highway, and that was because it accommodated all these trucks that were selling, you know, from the back of their vans, you know, all these trucks that were selling produce and fresh goods. And then, you know, you go over a few blocks, and then you're on to Fulton Market, which was really where all the meat packers were. And it was kind of nasty, you know, a lot of meat packers, a lot of smells, but it had this amazing history. So starting, you know, the 1850s, and then really the formalization of the neighborhood was 1890s, I guess, when we started seeing the commission houses coming up. But then you go on, you know, it started as, you know, as we saw that happening, we also saw it kind of go down into the skids. And I'm sure when you went over there, your parents would never let you kind of go by yourself, because it was a pretty gritty neighborhood.
Oh,
I mean, when
roll up the windows of the
cars,
lock the doors. Right. Yeah. This Skid Row. It was called Skid Row.
It was, you know, when Nelson Algren, you know, famous Chicago author, you know, in the 1940s, you know, he spent a lot of time there because he liked that grittiness. He felt that really, you know, showed what the city was all about. And I, you know, I loved reading about when he brought Simone de Beauvoir, who, you know, he was kind of dating and had an affair with, over to from France. He took her there because he thought it showed the true Chicago. And, you know, it just then we had, you know, that gritty part of the town. So it was a very interesting part of the city. And then you saw, you know, this transformation. And it kind of started, you know, I'd say that the Morgan Street L, you know, coming in the, you know, what, about 2012, 2013, it really started transforming that. And then you had Google come in, and you had it made the Innovation District in 2014. Then 2015, the city actually landmarked it as the Fulton Market District, a historic district. And now it's, you know, it's really just this hub of restaurants that are finally starting to come back to life, and right. which is fun to see. And the most important thing is that I live there, too, so you have to know I've got a bias.
That is what completely brought this neighborhood around, absolutely. what would you say are the borders of what we're talking about, the Fulton-Randolph Market District?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of, there's the formal historic district. So that goes to, you know, basically where the railroad tracks are, that kind of the metro tracks, and then goes to Washington, then goes basically to the highway to Ogden. And that's actually the Fulton Market Historic District. And then, you know, when you get across Washington, that is really where we're looking at more of the residential neighborhood. And that really, so what we've got is there is landmarked buildings. There's about 87 buildings that are contributing to that area, then 44 that aren't, and then vacant land. So what happens with that, just getting the technicalities of the way the city progresses, is that if it's not a landmark building, it could be torn down. So we're seeing a real mixture of these wonderful historic buildings that you see on Fulton Market on the actual row, and then you'll see larger office buildings coming in that, you know, just pre-COVID, thought that was the place to have these very large, massive floor plates to attract the tech workers to come in.
Yeah, before we talk about some of the spots on your walking tour, which are just such really interesting spots in that area, just talk to me quickly about the effect that Oprah had on that area.
It was huge, you know, and is going back to, like, people didn't go there. And all of a sudden, Oprah Winfrey opens Harpo Studios. And, you know, the building that she actually opened it in was just, you know, this the old armory. And that armory actually was used to house all the bodies from the Eastland disaster. So that's how, you know, that goes back to the turn of the century.
I never knew that.
But when she had this innovation for, you know, taking this studio, and you think about, you know, people from all across America would come and line up in this area to go into the studios, and then you got some restaurants like, you know, Wishbone opening up. And, you know, you saw a bit of life coming back into the area, and people started getting curious. And we saw other restaurants coming into, you know, just as in the mid-1990s, you saw people starting to venture over into Restaurant Row, which was Randolph Street. So she was really a big turning point for the city in that way.
Yeah. Has that continued since Oprah, you know, sold the building and is no longer in that neighborhood? Has the momentum of her being there continued to let the neighborhood thrive? It hasn't slowed down at all, short of the pandemic, I mean.
It's, you know, the neighborhood is just going gangbusters. And, you know, as I said, it was interesting when Google came in, and they're in the building at the corner of Morgan and Fulton, and they're in the old cold storage building. And when that was being developed in the early, 2014, I guess, they had to thaw out the building. So it'd been a cold storage building, and they had to thaw it out for a week in order to get in there. And when they did thaw it out, they had about 6 to 8 carcasses that they found, which was interesting. But then you push over, and the neighborhood is so hot and sexy that you've even got McDonald's coming in. So leaving their Oak Brook campus and coming downtown, because, you know, as the then CEO of McDonald's said, like, I want my people to be knowing what the current food trends in. I want them to be seeing and living in that environment, not on a kind of corporate campus. So McDonald's is, you know, just a block from where Oprah Studios were. And, you know, Oprah wouldn't recognize the area now because of so much development, a mixture of really old historic buildings and many very huge large office corporate blocks.
1220 Dean Richards, WGN, our regular segment that we're going to do on Chicago architecture and the neighborhoods, talking with Lynn Osmond, president of the Chicago Architecture Center, about the Fulton Randolph Street Market area. I have to think, Lynn, on this walking tour that you're going to be putting on, that there has to be a lot of talk of repurposing all these old buildings that were, you know, for industrial use, meat markets, produce markets. But these great old buildings that I have to think were just completely gutted inside in order to make them functional for today.
Yeah, you know, one of my favorite sections of the street is on Fulton between right at the start of the Fulton Market, right by the gateway between Green and Peoria. And there you have these wonderful old commission houses that represented the meatpacking industry. And very appropriately enough, at the start of it, at that gateway, you have the Publican restaurant, which is also a meatpacker. And if you go in there, actually, they have their grocery store on one side, and then they have the restaurant on the other side, and this wonderful facade that is, you know, two stories. Right. It's an old commission house. And then they actually have their butchering is right under the street. So you have to kind of go in when we can go in buildings again and look at the butchering. But that part is really precious, and it's really interesting because they have the cast iron fronts, and you can look up and see what it's like. Some of these buildings have had, well, they've been totally restored. Other ones, because the purposes and the conditions were so bad that they, you know, we nicknamed them facadectomies, where they keep the facade, but they don't keep the back of the building.
Yeah.
So, you know, because of a fire at the building on the north side, we don't have the complete building, but they've really done a very wonderful adaptive reuse on it, and that's where you have Beatrice and, you know, Kuma's, you know, just all these names that are all on, you know, the Michelin-starred list.
Right, right, exactly. You know, it's amazing when you're in that area and you just look up at the buildings and see the intricate work that, you know, happened to be on the facades, and just think, you know, they do not make buildings like this anymore. This is a super special treat to be able to walk around this neighborhood and see it up close and personal. What are some of the stops on your walking tour?
You know, we look at some of the, you know, we look at a, I guess I'd say, bucket of different buildings. So we look at the old commission houses that are really interesting, and that takes us onto Green Street, onto Fulton Market, of course, with the old commissions and looking at some of the restaurants that are there. So adaptive reuse buildings that have been, much of it being done by some sensitive architects like Hartshorne and Plunkett. Then we also look at some of the hotels, you know, that are on it. So Soho House, great old, is the old Alice building that was a manufacturer of belts, manufacturing belts, and that's now Soho House and a very adaptive reuse. Some of the newer buildings that we're looking at, so the Morgan Street L Station by Carol Ross Barney, that is really transformational. I talked about the Fulton Market Storage Building developed by Sterling Bay, and it's the Google headquarters done by Hartshorne and Plunkett. And then we can go across and look at some of the newer hotels that are happening. You know, Nobu Hotel, which is done, is just about to open, kind of an ominous time to open. But then also Hoxton Hotel, which is a new hotel by Jeff Shapik. So really it's a mixture of the old commission houses and seeing how they work, and then the restaurants. You know, the tour is called, after all, the From Gritty to Gourmet, so we have to talk about both.
Yeah, there's, I mean, some of truly the best restaurants, the highest rated restaurants in Chicago are there, like Girl and the Goat and Jaipur, among others, and Blackbird. Maybe one of the best burgers in Chicago, Au Chevelle, is located there. I'm sure they would like to be known for something more than that, but I'm sorry. They have one of the best burgers in Chicago, without a doubt. This is Herb in Huntley. You're on WGN.
Yeah, hi. I was just going to comment on a couple of things the ladies said about the neighborhood. Oh, we lived on Grand and May. The railroad tracks used to run right behind us. I remember as a kid in the late 40s, I was only about 7 or 8. People used to go, there used to be openings in the tracks where the produce used to be dumped pretty early. Like, if they didn't sell by 12 or 2 o'clock, they'd dump everything. And people used to go shopping there, literally. I mean, because the food wasn't, I mean, the fruit and vegetables weren't bad. It's just, you know, they had to get rid of them. And I remember seeing people, and actually my grandma too, picking up fruit and vegetables there because they were still good. So
I'm sure
that was part of the neighborhood.
I'm sure that was common.
Which was on the other side of the track.
Yeah. What were the, tell me about the people that lived in that neighborhood back then, Lynn.
Well, that that point, it wasn't highly residential. It was really more of a commercial area. Yeah. You know, if you want to go back, though, to a few years, you know, when it first opened, the back in the 1880s, 1870s, I mean, that was actually the area that was a bit further away, closer to Ogden. Mary Todd Lincoln moved there after her husband was shot.
Oh, wow.
So that it was, you know, that part was really kind of beautiful townhomes, very tony, and then only a few blocks away, you know, had this very different neighborhood that was, you know, more of a commercial corridor.
Such an interesting history there. Hi, Vic, you're on WGN.
Yeah, a little history. The first time I went down to Randolph Street was probably 1970, and I met my friends. The Randolph Street Cafe was owned by the Panagakis family, and Dad was still alive carrying a 100-pound sack of potatoes. And I went to the farmer's market with him, and a lot of the workers would come to the Randolph Street Care. Later on, that was sold to Enos and over there, so that neighborhood a lot. And she's right about, you know, Mrs. Lincoln lived on Washington Boulevard. There was a sign on the building for years. And I grew up about six blocks away from it, so you had a lot of working people, and you had, you know, then you had the famous fish store right over there. And then I had one of my buddies that had a tavern in the market, and he had all the butchers at the tavern. Boy, they were a tough crowd. He was a butcher himself, and a few times I saw the butcher knife running. In fact, I've got out now over 2,000 guides to my 606 trail. Now I just hit over 2,000 of them, just telling the history along the 606 trail.
Very,
and,
very interesting. Very,
you know, things of that. But there, I found, I've done 600 tours, that people like the people stories as much or more than the architecture.
It's very interesting to learn about the people who lived in these areas and what they were used for, and, you know, these neighborhoods that, you know, now if someone were to move to Chicago, Lynn, and, you know, go to the Fulton Randolph Street area, you know, they would think that, you know, that it's some highfalutin kind of area. And, man, that could not be more different than the way this area originally began. It's such an interesting transformation. Would you say that this area is sort of Chicago's Soho?
Oh, absolutely. You know, when it's interesting because when Nelson Algren was over there in the 40s, I would have called it Chicago's Bowery District.
Yeah.
And now it's very, very much, you know, kind of the Soho. And it's, you know, also very much akin to what's going on in New York with the resurgence of the High Line in the Meatpacking District there. So this is very much that same, you know, category. And even, you know, Bridgeport Foods is one of the last meatpackers there. And it's going to be leaving and being developed into condominiums. So, or it's going to be torn down, I should say, redeveloped into condominiums. So really the flavor of the neighborhood in the last 10 years has changed dramatically. It's gone from the meatpackers and now to really the more of the restaurants and the tech workers that are coming in.
Yeah, it's an unbelievable transformation. I'm sure that walking tour has got to be fascinating. How is that being run? How is that going now with, you know, social distancing? And I know you've got some new barriers this year.
You know, the tour itself is called, you know, Fulton Randolph Market, from gourmet, from gritty to gourmet. And what we're doing in our walking tours is that we're keeping social distancing, so we're restricting them to six people. So that's a great deal, because usually you'd be paying for a tour with 15 other people. And then one docent, and we ask people to wear masks, and the docent will be wearing a mask. So really social distancing is being adhered to. This tour is actually being offered, you know, starting next Saturday, June 27th, and then again, you know, in July 20th and 25th. And all of these tours now, because of the restrictions on size, we're also offering them as private tours, so that people can say, hey, I just want to go with the people I socially isolate with. Well, you can, you know, find out more from us at architecture.org/tours. So it's a wonderful opportunity to go out and, you know, we do so many different tours, but, you know, I must say I'm personally biased with some of the walking tours, because you really can go out and touch and see the building and look up, which is our favorite saying.
Yeah, fantastic. And on this tour, is it true that everyone gets to stop at your house and you make lunch for them?
I do. I give them coffee in the morning, or if the tour ends in the evening, I give them cocktails.
Very nice. Very, very thoughtful.
Kidding, of course.
We are going to learn more about these tours throughout the summer. I love this. I love learning about the neighborhoods. Lynn Osmond, President, Chicago Architecture Center, thank you so much for joining us today. And we'll talk soon. We'll explore another neighborhood soon.
That sounds great. Thank you, and have a great Sunday.
Thanks, Lynn. You do the same. I appreciate that.